Morning. My name is Scott Pittman from Bonsai Fine Arts, and as Catherine so eloquently set the stage, I'm going to speak a little bit more about the this massive undertaking of moving literally thousands of fragile artworks, glass, ceramic, turned wood, metals, mixed media, and these are all contemporary, pushing the boundaries, amazing artworks, and thousands of them. So we start with this slide. Basically, this is what I saw when I went in for the initial assessment. And I should point out, if you haven't been to Charlotte, you should go. It's become a real destination for so many reasons, and the art is the top of the list. So logistics, this is what we do. We plan, and we are asked to present proposals. For us, it was we were first asked to present our plan to gain the opportunity to actually work on the project. And we all know about bids and how it's sort of a competitive thing with companies, but and it's not always about the bottom line. In certain situations like this, such a large undertaking, you know, you really have to develop a team. We pitched our plan to the registrar and the director, who was an interim director, and we really wanted to convince them that our small company was able to accomplish such a task. It was the plan that we presented that really became the key to our success, which simply put was guaranteeing that we would have an A team of our best people on the project at every time. And since we were given the luxury of a full year, we calculated that it would take at least a week each month during that year to take care of all this packing. So let's see. Okay, so not only did we have to present an organized approach, but we had to present a plan that would offer a degree of control for the people involved. And we all know that some people like to micromanage things, but that can bring a degree of comfort for some places. And in this case, I think it helped to take away a lot of the stress from all these people that have been thinking about this project for so many years. This collaboration was between the Mint staff and the Bonsai staff, and we definitely thought about managing the stress as we went along. This is basically the slides that you'll see here are sort of a snapshot of, as the project was developed, what you would see as you walked into their storage spaces that at once were completely jam-packed and then gradually were emptied and organized into the galleries. The main plan that we developed was one that everybody could live with. And not only was it all about the protection of these, you know, fragile artifacts, but it was also, for us, it was with the budget in mind. You know, for such a huge project, the budget could really start to run away from you. So moving into the details of the packing, we had, I'm going to just flip through these so you can kind of see the evolution of what we were about to embark on. So basically, the developing this plan, we had to discuss similar situations from the past that we had been involved with. And there were three or four other projects that we had worked with. One was the moving of the Columbia Museum of Art in South Carolina. There was the Custis Mansion in at the Arlington National Cemetery. There were moving of the antiquities collection at Johns Hopkins University, and another collection across the street from the Mint Museum uptown was the moving of the Beckler collection, which is another great destination. So with all these projects as a reference, we could sort of reflect on methodologies, and developing our plan was definitely about the methodology, and that methodology helped to drive the budget. So the methodologies that we embarked on concerned all the concerns of the Conservation Department, which was materials and their applications, the registrars, who you know, were very concerned with tracking and sticking to a schedule, and the director, which was staying within our budget. So, talking about some of the packing methodology, what you're seeing here is one of the more fragile pieces, which we had to put one of our best people on, and you can see that every time we would move an object of such a fragility, you have to think about where it is going to be placed and how it will be handled until it is completely protected in its box. Overall, I would say that we began by trying to use standard size boxes with just the normal cushioning of foam and tissue. And then we would move up from that with using L pallets. So this, you'll see, became very helpful, not only in the heavier objects, but also in groups of paintings and in, you know, basically anything that you did not want to put your hands on when it was being moved from museum to truck and back into museum. Heavier things would also be put into boxes that we would reinforce with plywood and have skids screwed into the bottom, and basically a support system that would allow you to handle the box and not the object. Before putting anything into a box, we would consider surfaces. So objects with sensitive surfaces, which most of these were a concern, we would depart from the idea of soft Tyvek with a buffered or unbuffered tissue, and those would be placed into padded boxes and secured with yokes or some other sort of bracing. We tried to stay away from elaborate gator board and foam pour boxes, since this was a move that went about 7 blocks down Tryon Street. And show you a few more of these examples of L pallets. The strapping, we would always have a quarter-inch Velora, which is a acid-free material, and we would selectively support these in the areas of most density and, you know, least fragility. So it really was these L pallet designs that became the most versatile and helpful tool for this short move, which you know, it felt more comfortable to have an object that you could handle that protected on all sides. So moving on, this is the Ment Museum of Craft and Design, and these are some of the objects that we handled. Okay, moving straight to probably one of the more difficult objects that we've ever had to embark on, and this stands out in my mind probably as one of the more difficult projects, in that it was permanently installed in the original building, and we were tasked with sort of dislodging it, packing it, moving it, and then reinstalling it in the new building. This is a 10,000-pound glass wall in 10 sections, and 5 of the sections are suspended from the ceiling. And if you see the way it's designed, it's about 5 inches thick, and it's meant to appear as one wall. So it's so important to get those lines plumb, and part of this job was to fabricate a plate which had 36 machine holes drilled in it that had to be perfectly plumb from the top support piece. So we also used the L pallet design in moving all these panels, knowing that it would help us in the long run in installing this. So you'll see a pallet with 4x4 bolted and all padded with foam and Velora. And this is some of the shots from that part of the project. I have to mention the alliance we have with a company called Fine Art Specialists, Ben Gage and his crew, that we work together often for from some of these bigger jobs, and he was invaluable in just his experience and wisdom and how to approach, you know, the this installation. This was the first object installed in the museum, and it really did give us a lot of confidence in moving the rest of the pieces in and in, you know, installing some of the more difficult pieces. So to summarize what I've said, the steps we went through were, one, making a plan that involved both a methodology and budget, make a schedule that everybody could work with, involved, make sure the staff of Packers was competent and tuned into the particular realities of each session, and make sure that the custom packaging was prepared and followed the details established in previous assessments. Finally, utilizing standardized packaging when possible to keep that budget down, and most importantly, setting realistic goals. So the Mint Museum Uptown, it's a great museum. It's open for business, and I plan on going back many times. So I guess I'd like to open the floor up to questions.